begins now. And it begins with how, look, I'm not asking you to feel sorry for me because I've got such a hard job. Because I don't. I got a great job. I'm really blessed. You'll never hear me take it for granted. Again, I tell you this all the time. My dad worked in a factory for 40 years. That's hard work. What I do is not. And I understand that. But there are times when things are a little frustrating at work. And yesterday was one of those moments. Tausch, I want you to put on your Tausch translator hat and listen to the process we went through with Matt LaFleur after Jordan Love was indeed spotted taking part in practice, at least during the individual drills and the stretching that the media is allowed to see. Here is the start of his press conference yesterday.
Limited were Kenny Clark, J.J. Ingabare, Josh Jacobs, Tucker Kraft, Jordan Love, Josh Myers, Zach Tom, Rasheed Walker. The guys that were out were Elton Jenkins, Jordan Morgan, Jaden Reed, and Carrington Valentine.
So what was Jordan able to do for you today?
He was limited, Bill.
So was he able to do team?
He was limited.
Yes or no on team?
He was limited.
In team?
He was limited. Take that however you want.
That regardless of how limited he may or may not have
saved
been,
the day.
Have him out there at least.
Yeah, I think it's always great to have your quarterback out there, but we'll see how he progresses throughout the course of the week.
And then poor Rob here.
Obviously, Malik needs reps if he's going to play. Just how new he is in the system. So how are you kind of handling that? And I'm not asking you how many reps Jordan took, but how do you get two guys potentially ready, especially one that needs all the work that Malik does?
That's always a challenge. And so I think, you know, throughout the course of the week, hopefully you get a better indication, and that kind of leads to some of the decisions that you have to make.
All right, so what does that tell you about where Jordan Love is? Because here's what it tells me. If he had taken some team reps, you're telling us that he took some team reps. I'm sorry. My gut tells me he got some team reps. We gave Malik most of the reps because he obviously needs to be ready if Jordan's not. But it was good to see him out there moving around and doing a little 11-on-11. If he had done team reps, I think we would have heard about it. The fact that we didn't makes me think that we're getting our hopes up, but maybe a little prematurely. What about you?
Oh, it appears we don't have Tausch anymore. All right.
This is his best input that I've gotten from him in a while. All right, well, let me take over then, because, look, I just got done recording our weekly Wildy, which I still don't like the name, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channel show with Alex Strofe. And Alex Strofe, who is road tripping to Nashville for the game, said that he thinks it's likely that Jordan Love is playing. To which I said, well, what are you basing that on? And the fact of the matter is, it's based on the fact that he's going to Nashville and he wants to see Jordan Love play in the game.
That's optimistic.
I understand being optimistic. I get it. I think it's important, though, to go back to kind of where we were at the beginning. It doesn't change the timeline necessarily. And I know that Rob Domofsky's comment on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy at the beginning of the week that this wasn't a charade and there was a chance of him playing has some people thinking, okay, well, then this is the week. And maybe it is. I am not telling you that there's no way that he plays. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is temper your expectations here, because I want to get to this clip here next, Jesse, and maybe Tausch will hear it and maybe he won't. But one of the important aspects of this, we've heard them repeatedly say, well, he's got to be able to protect himself. Well, what does that mean? To me, that means he's got to be able to move, right? Wearing a brace on his left knee, wearing a compression sleeve from his ankle to his hip bone. He's got to be, that's protection. But to be able to protect himself, he has to be able to move within the pocket effectively, not gimpily. He has to be able to get out of the pocket when necessary, not full speed Lamar Jackson, Michael Vick get out of the pocket, but get out of the pocket enough to get out of harm's way and find an open receiver. And so I feel like I do a lot of history lessons these days, right? Comparing Tucker Kraft to Chewy and comparing Romeo Doubs to Alan Lazard. I compare him to James Jones. But those are things that when you do this a long time, you remember. And I remember a certain quarterback who wasn't a runner per se, but certainly loved to extend plays, move in the pocket, get out of the pocket, and get some off-schedule plays down the field, who tore his calf in 2014. And as Brian Bulaga pointed out, maybe they win that NFC Championship game in Seattle, even with all the other crap that happened, if Aaron Rodgers is simply able to move the way he normally would have without a torn calf. So here is how that exchange with Jordan went. I'm curious, I think we have Tausch back, what he thinks of what Jordan says in this exchange.
So Jordan, do you need to be able to do all this? Like, before you got here, Rodgers tore his calf, and for a couple of games, he was a pure pocket passer. You know, even if you're not 100%, you're obviously a good player, is that do you have to be able to do all the things you normally do in order to play, or do you just have to be able to protect yourself?
Yeah, you just have to be able to protect yourself. You know, you don't have to be able to do all those things, and you know, at the end of the day, like you said, you just got to be able to protect yourself. It's going to be different, you know what I mean? But like I said before, that's a huge part of my game. And, you know, it's one of those things that it's kind of just the back of your head. You just kind of react when you're out there too. So there's not a lot of thought that once I get it back on the field that I'll just be, you know, thinking to protect myself. I'll just be reacting and playing it out.
So if he's reacting and playing it out, Aaron Rodgers had to force himself to not do the things that his torn calf was going to be problematic for. Do we really think that if you're not going to think about it, you're just going to react, is he going to be able to protect himself? Help me understand this, old boy.
Yeah, he's not going to play if he's not going to be able to protect himself, A.
And the stuff he does is part of protecting himself.
Yeah, and the thing is, you don't know that until you get out there. So he could say all that stuff, but that's the... You know, that's the challenge that this will be if he does get back. I do wonder, are you changing your tune now that he practiced?
I'm not.
That he's not playing. You're, nope. He's not. You still don't think he's playing?
I don't.
Okay. I kind of agree with you.
If they had come out yesterday and said, hey, we gave him some team reps so he could move around in the pocket. He's wearing a red jersey.
Limited. He's limited, right?
Yeah, limited. I heard that. And I personally don't believe... I think we lost you when I was saying this. If he took team reps, I think we would have heard about it. I don't think they would have been so adamant about that narrative of he was limited, including Jordan Love parroting that. Because then you just say, well, Jordan got a few. We wanted to see how he moved in the pocket, but we gave most of the reps to Malik because he's got to be ready in case Jordan's not. And so I doubt that he took team reps. That is not – I'm not reporting that. That is my theory.
What are you reporting? Now that you continue to say I'm not reporting.
But Eric Wilson's hot.
He's a really good looking dude.
He's got a great body.
He's a chiseled Adonis. This is going to be your challenge with this whole how this Jordan Love scenario plays out. Because he wants to play. LaFleur wants him out there. His teammates want him out there. I think he feels, you know, the quarterback culture that Green Bay's quarterbacks don't miss games unless – you bust something. Well, you have to realize you're not 100%. It's a long season. And if he is not able to go out and do what he needs in practice to prove it, don't play. It's a really easy thing for us to say. It's a really difficult thing for him to not go out and do. So we're not going to know. I think the coaches will know if he's not doing some type of team by the end of the week. I would think that tells you what you need to know. But I love the fact that he's pushing. the way he is to try and find a way to get out there. That's,
sure.
I think that is exactly what he should be doing. And I think the Packers should be very smart about when they actually put him out there. So all of this, were you surprised that he was even limited practicing yesterday? Because when that news broke, I was like, hmm.
I thought it was encouraging. Yeah. I thought it was encouraging. Was I surprised? I thought there was a chance they would get him out there to have him do Indy, because I do believe there were people in the building that thought he was closer than he actually turned out to be to playing last week. And so now you take another step. It feels to me like this is the week where you get him back moving around and in practice, and then he plays for Old T coming up for the Vikings game. That's where I've shifted now. I thought the Vikings game was unlikely. Now I think there's a much, much greater chance that you get to see him play. Remember when you said you were coming up and I was a little poo-poo-ish, that you were a little ahead of schedule? I will admit I've changed my tune on that.
Okay.
I have not changed my tune on this game. And if he plays, I will be surprised. And I will say, hats off to you with my Johnson & Sons paving hat for playing, because I still think it's probably more likely a week away.
How much do you think Jordan's a competitor. He knows his teammates need him. Does the quarterback culture of Green Bay play into this at all for him? Because with Rodgers, it 100% did. The Favre not missing games.
No doubt.
And Rodgers found. Does that play at all into what Jordan is doing, or is it strictly, I'm healthy, I'm going to go play?
I'm sure mentally it does. Now, I don't know who's telling him what and what kind of advice he's getting from who. But the bottom line is that I think he's in a position where he definitely, there's no doubt that he wants to play. Like, yes. I don't think that he's, like, unwilling to risk it. I think that he is trying to get back. But again, as much as he said in that clip that we heard about how it's just about protecting myself. Well, hey, part of protecting yourself is being able to escape the pocket when it is collapsing upon you. And if you can't get out of there effectively, or you can't make those subtle movements within the pocket, which, by the way, how do you figure out whether you can make them or not if you're not doing some team drills and you're only doing individual drills, right? He's got to do some team to test that specific aspect of protecting himself out, doesn't he?
No.
What do you mean no?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well, what do you know?
Well, I've told you that Rodgers played in games where he didn't practice. I know Brett Favre has played in games where he didn't practice. And Jordan Love, while you would hope that that's the case, he is going to play. If they clear him, he'll play. If the doctors clear him to play, he'll play. Mm-hmm. And whether or not he practices on Thursday or Friday and shows that he can protect himself, he's in a red jersey anyway. It's not like he's got a lewd pass
rush. Right, but it's still being – look, hey, let's be honest. I don't remember this phrase ever being used in conjunction with either of those quarterbacks. Can he protect himself? I don't remember. We never talked about that. It's right. Do you think you could play or not?
No, I mean, I think that's always the biggest concern that coaches and medical staff have is – yeah, if you're out there and you're a sitting duck and it's duck hunting season, it ain't good.
Could Rodgers protect himself in 2014 with a torn calf?
Yeah.
No, he couldn't.
He did.
He could. No, he couldn't.
But he did.
But he didn't. He but just didn't suffer a catastrophic injury. Now,
Jason, they did it with pistoling it. They accommodated him. He didn't. Yes, they could, and teams obviously played into that. But you want that's also playoffs. That's also late in the season. It's different. You know that.
I beginning of do the know season, that.
That's where I think the conundrum that Matt LaFleur is dealing with here is. He thinks he can win in Tennessee without him, but he wants him to play, and you have to look at the big picture of this, and it's really hard as a coach when everything is week to week to look big picture. That's where Goody, that's where the doctors, that's where that group can come in, and you hope you figure out, all right, he's at this percentage point, he moves around well enough that he's going to be able to go play. Is he going to be effective when he plays? All of those are in play. So I still selfishly want to see Malik Willis one more week, and I want to see the Minnesota Viking game. I think another full week, and then you can practice and see how you're feeling. He's already made huge strides, obviously, from where when he was injured to where he is now. Multiply that by another week, and all of a sudden you hope he's that much better, and then we don't have these conversations after that Viking game. That would be my unsolicited advice.
No, it was solicited. I was asking for it. But here's the thing. So Aaron Rodgers during the 2014 season ran 43 times during the regular season. He absorbed 28 sacks. Okay. The last game of the regular season. So he tears his calf in Tampa in the second to last game of the year. In the next game against Detroit, he was not sacked because I remember they got him. He got the ball out of his hand quickly. He did have a miraculous 13-yard run, which I remember going, hey, aren't you supposed to not be running with this calf? Which goes back to my point of the idea of trying to limit yourself. Guys have trouble doing that in the heat of the moment. But when they beat the Cowboys, he did not run at all. He was sacked twice. But he was, as Brian Bulaga will tell you, because he was blocking for him that game, he was a statue in that game. And hearing Love talk repeatedly about all the things that he has to do with his legs, it makes me wonder if they will believe that he can protect himself under these circumstances. That's what I'm wondering.
Do you think so, Jordan Love thinks he can protect himself right now?
I think Jordan Love thinks, I can't really protect it myself, but I want to play anyway. That's what I think. I think he, I don't have any doubt that he wants to play. But again, I do think it's their job to protect him from himself from time to time. All right, I want to get to a few other things that Jordan Love said yesterday to us, so I want to remind you now, and every time Braden Narveson made a field goal, which was 3 out of 4, cost $1,000 when he missed it, though. Every time he made one, I was thinking about Steinhoffels on Sunday and what they're doing with Special Spaces Wisconsin. Steinhoffels and Special Spaces Wisconsin are partnering with the Green Bay Packers to create dream bedrooms for children battling cancer all across Wisconsin. And all season long, every time the Packers make a field goal, doesn't matter who the kicker is, Steinhoffels is donating $1,000 to Special Spaces Wisconsin. So 6 made field goals already this season from Braden Narveson. That's $6,000 already through only 2 games to Special Spaces Wisconsin. Steinhoffels has been Wisconsin's furniture and mattress leader since 1934. It's 100% employee-owned and a proud partner of the Green Bay Packers. So did you hear this from Jordan Love? Is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
What I want, you've got, it might be hard to handle. We've got UW Whitewater football coach Jace Rindle coming up on the other side. But first, time to play a little. Did you hear of this?
Consider it the radio version of a conversation at the water cooler. It's time for Did You Hear This on Wildy and Tausch.
Is there a large truck backing up somewhere in my vicinity? You're also in, like, your fourth location today already.
What's going on there?
It's been a battle, man. I'm telling you. I finally found a spot that I think has good. Like, I feel good about the connection. I feel good about it. I don't feel great. I don't feel great about my camera work.
You shouldn't.
But there is no truck. I don't know what. There's no truck. There's a beautiful
beep,
garden.
Beep, 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 beep.
You're so far away.
Well, no, I'm doing my best.
Man. Little T. Instead of old T, it's Lil T. Because he looks so small on the video.
Oh, that's a nice change. That's a nice change of pace.
All right, Jordan Love in the locker room yesterday. Did he think his season was over suffered the injury?
Yeah, when it happened, it was one of those things that was very scary. You know, definitely, I was not knowing what happened. You know, I've never had I've torn my meniscus in college, but never had an ACL or anything like that. So I never really didn't know what that felt like, didn't know what it might be. So a lot of thoughts went through my head for sure.
I appreciated his vulnerability sharing that there. I was worried his season was done. Were both of you?
Yeah. I think you saw Twitter docs examining it and saying that it could have been an ACL. You saw the pop. But that's why you don't judge all that. You let the scans and everything else kind of figure it out. But from a player's standpoint, you're always freaked out when you don't know. When you feel something... And it, you know, Jordan has not had that, luckily for him, so he doesn't know. And that's the unknown is always the thing that scares you the most as a player. Mm-hmm. And then once you figure it out, you're like, all right, how do I attack this? How do I figure it out? But when you think, especially when it's the first game of the season and you're flying 12 hours home from Brazil and you have all that time to think, your mind could go to some dark places. Mm-hmm. So Jordan should be – Jordan, I'm sure – feels very fortunate that it might only end up being one game. Most of us think it'll still be another one, but the fact that he's out practicing a week later, it's unbelievable. He's so fortunate that that's all this was an MCL. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that he's feeling a ton of gratitude that that's where he's at.
I liked his vulnerability too, Jesse. That was interesting because he was in a lot of pain, which I believe is the next quote.
Did you hear this?
Sure is. How much pain was Jordan Love feeling when the injury took place in Brazil?
You know, when it happened, it was very painful. You know, I'll tell people, it's the most pain I've been in on the field. So, you know, just a lot of emotions, but definitely very painful and, you know, didn't know in the moment what moment might have happened, you know, what the injury actually was, how long I might be out. So it was definitely a scary moment, but it was very painful.
It was incredibly painful.
Why did Bane come?
That's one of his quotes from the movie.
What, that it was painful?
It will be incredibly painful. And
oh.
Because he says, what would happen if I take that mask off?
It would be incredibly painful.
I'm just reenacting scenes. All right, what do you think, Jason, when Jordan Love shared that at the locker?
Yeah,
I crushed that one.
First thing I thought of was Bane. Yeah, when you say it was the most pain I've ever been in, I mean, you could see him writhing on the ground. Like, he's a pretty cool customer. He looked like he was in excruciating pain, which, Tausch, I guess I always thought more pain, more problematic. And it turned out it was actually not the case. And we heard Rob say that late last week, maybe, that it was actually the pain was a good sign that it was something that was not catastrophic.
Just wait, who said that?
Domofsky did.
Said that more pain is less catastrophic.
In this instance, when it's the MCL, it's more painful, but it's something that you can play through more effectively than things that actually aren't as painful. You're the one who tore your ACL twice. How painful was that?
Yeah, they're painful. But the MCL, like when it's scarring back over and you're laying down that bed of not roses, but scar is what, you know, Jordan and the docs need to see so that you feel that stability and that you can get back out there. He's very fortunate. If that's the most pain he's been, all I'm going to say is Jordan is very fortunate that that's the most pain. I've got a hunch. As being a quarterback, and if he's going to play 10, 15 years like we all hope, I hope that that is the most pain that he's dealt with, because MCLs are painful. There is, and especially if you have that grade one tear, they suck. So kudos. Again, I think we all realize we're fortunate. And when Jordan comes back and he's playing at a high level and this team can do some great things, the fortune that just shows you how much luck and fortune mm-hmm. plays a part in winning at this level, because it could have easily went the other way, and we could be sitting here talking about, you know, should Sean Clifford be battling for this? Like, just think of the conversation difference that we could be having if that was more catastrophic than what it turned out to be.
Yeah, well, we will see what happens on Sunday in Nashville and whether or not it is former Titan Malik Willis. I knew I was going to do that sooner or later. I've been so good on that all week or all 2 weeks long. Whether it'll be Malik Willis.
Mm-hmm. What you talking about?
Or Jordan Love. What I'm talking about is Malik Willis saying, like Tito Beveridge, pour me in, coach, for one more game.
Tito's handmade vodka on game day? Yeah, pour me in, coach Rindle. Or whomever's coaching your team. From a seat in the stands to the best seat on the couch. Root, root, root for your favorite team with your favorite team spirit. Stack of spicy. Salt the rim of a Tito Rita for halftime. Or take home the win with a Tito's, and it don't matter what lemon. Soda, cranberry, lemon, whatever it is, you're calling the game, you change up your roster, you wash that lucky jersey, as long as you make Tito's your first round bottle pick. Whose house? Tito's house. Find cocktail recipes for every fan at titosvodka.com, crafted to be savored responsibly.
We will talk some UW Whitewater football with our friend, the head coach of the Warhawks, Jace Rindle, next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
We do this once a year, and I always enjoy it. But I have to admit something. I cannot get my buddy Josh Goldberg to stop texting me because he's the voice of Whitewater Warhawk football, and he's like trying to prep me for the interview. Like, I don't do my own preparation work. Well, leave me alone. Coach Rindle, can you get rid of Josh for me? Can you tell him, hey, Coach says leave Wilde alone?
I don't know if I can do that. He's kind of a big part of our game days and making our Warhawk football first class. So we appreciate Josh.
He is a big deal, and I appreciate his help. It is Jace Rindle on Wilde and Tausch talking UW Whitewater football. Hey, I don't know what to make of your matchup this week because Mary Harden Baylor, which, again, she's played really well this season. I'm sure that joke's never been made before. Is a traditional power. Lost their opener, but won last week 85-6. They were playing a first-year program, I believe, which is not what you guys obviously are with all your great history. What are you seeing when you're looking at film of a team that scored 85 points last week?
Yeah, they're a heck of a program. I mean, we played them every year all the way back to 2018, so there's a lot of familiarity there. And you know, they come from Texas, so football's a pretty big deal down there. Skill position, very athletic, very explosive. Offensive line, pretty big guys, and they do a good job up front controlling the line of scrimmage. Defensively, they got a bunch of guys that fly around and are athletic and can hit. So, you know, our hands will be full. We got to play better than we did last week if we want to be smiling in the locker room after the game.
Well, interesting that you would say you have to play better than you did last week, because you are coming off winning on the road against the Division II team. So why do you say that? Because that's nothing to sneeze at, a win like that.
Without a doubt, that was a good team that we beat last week. But, you know, when we reflect on how we went about it and how we played, just not to the standard of what we expect out of our guys. So, yes, it's game two. Yes, it's earlier in the year, and there's going to be some rust and some challenges with it. But, you know, I think our guys attacked this week pretty good in our preparation, so I'm excited to see the third game of us on Saturday, and I think we're going to play a little bit better than last week.
You know, Jace, Tausch and I were talking about this earlier as it related to the Packers and to the Brewers as they hit into the playoffs, and it's always the expectation game, right? Whatever team you are, there sometimes you are coming off of a tough year, maybe the expectations are lower. I feel like expectations in Whitewater are always high, going back to even before you were a player. But is that, what does that tradition and what does that history mean for expectations? You guys are ranked third in the country right now, but you just have to be used to high expectations all the time when you're a Warhawk, don't you?
Without a doubt. And, you know, I think it is a little bit of a challenge. I mean, we appreciate it and we like that because it's important and our guys work hard and they care a lot about it. But, you know, my thing is, guys, let's just focus on one day at a time and try to get better and quit talking about things that aren't on the schedule. Right, let's not let them be a distraction. You know, we got to focus on us and improving and, you know, the little things that it takes to get you where you want to go. And, you know, I think that's the biggest thing for us is just we got to compete, we got to work, and we got to make sure that we're not, you know, feeling entitled to anything, because whatever's happened in the past doesn't really matter, right? This is a life of its own. This is 2024. We're team 129, the 129th team at Whitewater. So, you know, there's a big, long history and tradition that has put this program in the place that it's at. But, you know, it's up to us to continue to push it forward and, you know, keep attacking this thing and getting better every day.
Jace, how have you approached camp? Because with watching both the Badgers and how Green Bay approached training camp and getting ready for, you don't have preseason football, games count right away. How are you approaching it with how much hitting you're doing and what are you seeing around the WIA? How are you seeing other teams and yourself approaching that with the fact that you have a game right out of the gates? There isn't a preseason game to kind of warm up to get into it.
Yeah, we're fortunate enough at our level, Mark, that we can actually have a little bit of outside competition. So we were able to this year go to Waukesha and compete against Carroll for a day, and then we actually drove to Dubuque to compete against them in some training. So, you know, we didn't do that the year before, and we feel like that helped us this year as we started out the first two games. But, yeah, we're super aware of, you know, whether it's the concussions or whether it's just, you know, being aware of how much physical contact we do consecutively and just really trying to take care of our guys. You know, we don't really ever tackle in practice in regards to a team setting. You know, we'll do tackling more and more individual type work or overs D in smaller groups. But, yeah, I mean, you gotta get to the fight, right? You don't want to have that friendly fire in training and get guys injured there. So we're super aware of it. You know, we work with our sports medicine and our sports performance staffs to take the right approaches and make sure we're doing the best things on our end to prepare our guys, but also keep them healthy so that they can be the best versions of themselves on game day when it matters the most.
Yeah, Jace, so when you look at, you know, we obviously talk a lot of Packers, the Jordan Love component to this, and when you have a star player or, you know, your quarterback, and they're coming back from injury, how do you just leave it up to your medical team, or is it more, all right, this player, the trust in players, how do you go about when you decide to let your guys back out there? In Jordan's case, he's supposed to be out 3 to 6 weeks. He's practicing. We don't know if he's going to play. You know, players are always pushing. As a coach, you want your best players out there. Can you kind of take us through your process with a situation like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think comparing Jordan Love to us is probably apples to oranges a little bit, just because he's a professional. But to your point, I mean, we work together, right? We got a sports medicine staff with our athletic trainers, our offensive coaches, or myself, whoever the position may be, and you know we're gonna take everybody's input. We're gonna try to. We really want our guys to be training on Tuesday or Wednesday to allow them to play on Saturday. So, I mean, it's a collective effort, but then again, you know, every game's a little different too at the same point. So, like right now, we're a non-conference. So, you know, non-conferences, we look at as a program, is really preparing you for conference. So a guy that might be dinged up or managing an injury, probably not going to try to get him ready to go for a non-conference game, you know, compared to a conference game. So maybe that's another circumstance that would go into the equation as we look at figuring out when the right time is to get a guy back for a game.
All right, Jason, talking with Jace Rindle, the head coach of the University of Wisconsin Whitewater Warhawk football team. Let's talk about your quarterback. He may not be Jordan Love, but he's a Madison guy, and he's a pretty damn good quarterback, and you got to feel good about where you're at. Give fans that don't necessarily get to follow along as closely as Goldberg does, the guys that you've got that you're really proud of on the roster, and some guys that we should get to know that are Warhawks, that are household names for you, that should become more household names for us.
Yeah, we can start with Jason Cinetti, our quarterback, a Madison Memorial graduate. He's a fifth-year guy, graduated in 2020. Dad's a football coach. The guy just loves ball. You can't ask for something more out of that, out of your quarterback. Works his tail off, so committed to training, to watching film, to diet, sleep, all those little things that you want. So we love having him. A couple other names I'd throw out there. A guy that's really helped us this year is Nick Hall, who's a McFarland guy. Same thing, graduated in 2020. He's done a heck of a job. Rory Jones is our starting right tackle from Madison Memorial. We got a bunch of DeForest guys on our team.
Ooh.
That's Nolan Hawk. Yep.
The Norskies.
As well as a couple guys on the defensive side of the ball with Cole Yoakum and Devin Magley. So, I think we're well representative. 52% of our team comes from the state of Wisconsin. So we got a lot of pride. I'm from Cambridge, so I got a lot of love for the local teams here in the state of Wisconsin. But
well, you did Jace, now you Jace, do have
is Chad. Does Chad come down and help? Chad Yoakum, great pass rusher. I played with him. Is he coming down helping out, or is he just critiquing you from afar?
I think Chad's critiquing us from afar, but I like to connect with him about the yard work because I've been told that Chad keeps his lawn buttoned up pretty nicely.
Big mulch guy.
What do we consider Jackson Crist then? Who, before I even knew Paul Crist, I knew Jeep because he coached in the NFL for such a long time. He would be technically a California guy, right? Because did he grow up in California? But he's a Wisconsin guy too. He's your backup quarterback, isn't he?
Jackson Crist, yeah. Jackson would start on probably 95% of the teams at our level. And he claims he's from California. So yes, okay. He's got the roots with that last name. But yeah, Jackson's a great guy as well, and we love having him on our team. And we're going to need him. So he's got to stay ready, and he's a heck of a football player.
All right, Jace, I got a couple more for you, and one is kind of a bigger picture one. I'll get to that in a second. But you mentioned conference, and the WEAC is as good as it gets. You've got Mary Hart and Baylor this week, and then I think you got next week to recover before you go into a matchup with Oshkosh. This is such a great conference. How does the conference challenge you guys, and what's this conference season going to look like, not just for you guys, but for a lot of really good football teams in the conference?
I mean, you see it right now. I think there's four, maybe five teams in the top 25 mm-hmm. from our conference, with I think all of them being undefeated. So, yeah, it's the best in the country. We love that. We embrace that. We know that iron sharpens iron. So you got to strap it up. You got to prepare every game like it's the Super Bowl. And, I think that's how we wouldn't want it any other way. So I don't know how it'll shake out. We got to get through this week, and then we got a tough undefeated Oshkosh team coming to our Perkins Stadium here in Whitewater. So, just like any other year, you better take it game by game, because if you try to overlook somebody or you maybe assume something's just going to happen, before it's over, that's going to turn around and bite you right in the tail. So, yeah, we got to take care of this business, but this is going to be a heck of a year in our conference, and we're looking forward to the challenge of that.
All right, last thing, Jace, before we let you go. I went to Madison, but now that I've gotten to know a bunch of coaches at UW Oshkosh, the men's and women's basketball coaches have both become friends, and I have Division III fever. I just love Division III sports because, you got a bunch of kids who aren't on scholarship who are working their tails off. What is it, you having been a Division III player and now coach, what is it about Division III that makes it special?
I think you hit it right there. I mean, you got to love football, right? You got to love it. You got to be competitive. Everything you get is earned. You're paying for it out your pocket. You're going home. You got a summer job, tending bar at Lake Ripley Country Club in Cambridge for 8 years as you're trying to figure out a way to get through college as a player and a young coach. But I think that's what it is, right? Like it's a year-round commitment, right? You're buying your own protein supplements. But at the same time, you're holding yourself accountable to get in that weight room and train during the off season prior to going to make that money so that you can pay for school. So I think it's just a holistic approach that makes it special. But at the end of the day, you're working with young men that love the game of football. And that's why I'm coaching, because I can't play anymore. So I've got to be a part of football in some capacity, and helping people is what I get to do. And I go coach football every day. I don't even work. So it's pretty special.
Yeah, we don't work either, if we're being honest here. We love it when we get to talk with you every year. We obviously still keep in touch. Lance has been great to me, and I consider him a friend. We're still always pulling for him at Kansas, and the bar that has been set by the great coaches at Whitewater, you are living up to that, and I hope you continue to do that. We really appreciate not only getting to talk to you, but pulling for you guys during the season. So good luck the rest of the way, and thanks for coming on.
This was great. Thanks for having Warhawk Football. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, that is head coach Jace Rindle, the head coach of the Warhawks, who, again, Mary Harden Baylor this week, and then in 2 weeks they will have their showdown with the UW Oshkosh Titans coming up on their schedule. Tausch, as we were talking to Jace, I realized I was wearing my Johnson & Sons paving hat, so you should talk about Johnson & Sons paving while we're at it.
Get ready for spring and do it now. Call Johnson & Sons Paving to make sure no pavement hazards get worse over the winter. Potholes, crack curbs, drainage issues. If those things are bad now, call Johnson & Sons Paving to get it fixed today. Schedule a free, no obligation quote and get a walkthrough of your pavement. They'll be able to see signs of asphalt pavement, work needed by spotting fatigue cracking. You don't want fatigue cracking, I can assure you of that. Standing water, warping or buckling, sinking pavement, and more. Don't scare away customers or tenants with bad curb appeal. Book now. Save money later. JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com.
All right. We will continue the show. Jesse, why do I look like I'm in an old-time movie?
I think we should do our old WEAC poll since we had Jason. What do you think?
What old WEAC poll?
You can only visit one city in the WEAC in the state of Wisconsin. Which city are you going to? La Crosse, Eau Claire. You got White.
River Falls, Platteville, yeah.
Stout, Oshkosh. Superior, I don't know. Superior still a WEAC?
Well, Stout's not a city, right?
Well, Menominee. True. Is, but Stout's this campus. If you want.
Sure. Sounds like a great idea. We'll do that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Johnny WEAC, where are you going?
Gosh, it's not easy. I think I'm probably looking at...
It's got to be La Crosse, doesn't it?
La Crosse and Eau Claire probably are the two. I mean, Stevens Point is home. You know, it's close to home. It's where I almost ended up going to school.
Who's doing this show if you go to Stevens Point?
I don't think this show probably. I don't know.
Bulaga, Wildy and Bulaga. I'd give Bulaga... lead billing, though.
Well, does Bulaga even get drafted if Tausch goes to Stevens Point?
The butterfly effect. Uh-huh. I love this.
It's a super butterfly effect.
Could be Andrew Whitworth.
I don't think he's doing this show.
Wildy and Whitworth.
Wait a minute.
Wildy and Whitworth. Well, he doesn't like Jason. Jason doesn't know how to identify defenses. We've had
that's
that
what I've heard.
With
yeah.
The point I was trying to make is, and you brought it up to Coach, that the WEAC, it has been the crown jewel of Division III football forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a kick out of, obviously, high school athletes all want to be Division I athletes. That's mm-hmm. the dream. Everybody chases that. But you just kind of see, and I've had a couple of friends now that have, their kids have went off to school, and, you know, you're a nice high school player. You realize real quickly, you better love football. if you're going to go play Division III, obviously Division I, but if you're playing Division III football, he just kind of went over it. You're going to work. You're going to have to get a job. You got to pay for all your own stuff. So there's something about that love of the game and that kind of that innocence of it yet. Whereas, let's be honest, Division I football is super corporate. It's regimented. It's bing, 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 bing. Division III football still has that vibe. And I love it. And the fact that we have the best Division III football of anywhere, it's an awesome thing for all of us, for all of our kids, for all of the state of Wisconsin, that if you're a football fanatic and you love the game and you compete, you'll have an opportunity to go play big-time football still after high school if you're good enough, obviously, and you can do it right here in the state of Wisconsin. I think that's a pretty special thing that we have here.
No doubt. And like I said, having gotten exposed to more Division I athletes and coaches, it really, I don't want to sound like I meant Moneyball, but how can you not be romantic about Division III sports? Because it is different than the Alabamas and the Dukes and the UConns and the like.
If we're putting this in poll form, and I don't think we can, I think, Jesse, you just got to leave it open-ended. Who wins? What city wins? Jason, and I know you're Oshkosh because of your relationship. Take that out of the equation. Your daughters are going to go play sports. What city do you want them to go to? It's going to be Oshkosh because you live in Green Bay probably, right?
So, obviously, Domofsky's kind of going through a real-life version of this, right? His oldest son plays at Lawrence. His youngest son is being heavily recruited, probably could play Division II and maybe maybe Division I, maybe.
Wow, really?
Here's
Domofsky's wife must be a heck of an athlete. Because I can't imagine Domofsky. Is Domofsky a good athlete?
He's a good golfer. I don't want to speak for Rob's athleticism. We'll let him talk about it tomorrow.
Is he a hoopster or not? Because his kids are obviously really good.
Yeah, he loves basketball.
Was he any good?
Who's better at elbow jumpers, you or him?
I'm a better shooter than him, but we guarded each other in our youth playing pickup ball at the Y.
I would love to see some video on that.
The things I would do to watch you guys play one-on-one right now.
Dudes playing at the show.
No, it wasn't one-on-one. It was 5-on-5.
No, I want that tomorrow. two of you.
Okay.
Can you imagine? This is like what I used to always say to my buddy Jimmy Schill. I'd say, I got you, you got me. In one of those deals, that's what Domofsky's like. I want Wilde because he can't guard a chair. So Domofsky's probably wanting you.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, we're roughly the same height, too.
I got you, you got me.
So I would just say this. So there are some examples of guys who have made the Division II to Division I leaps, guys that are under-recruited, having watched Roan play. He feels to me like a guy who's not going to get Division I offers, per se. But again, I know that there are a bunch of schools that are interested in him. So we'll talk to Rob about that. He's scheduled to appear tomorrow, right? Bottom line is, if you're saying that Sid can't play for Brad Fisher at Oshkosh, and I'm just picking it based on the city,
mm-hmm.
And the picturesque surroundings, having been to La Crosse a number of times, including
Bluff
the cover
country.
State.
Bluff country.
Covering state track. And Maddie could run track there, too. I'm picking lacrosse.
Okay.
What did you not choose?
I'm torn because I don't know. Is Superior still a WEAC school?
Taushaly and Brulia.
Superior is not.
I was going to say.
Well, did they get annexed out, or how did that even work? Because they used to be.
I don't know I'm the baseball historian on the panel since 2001. I'm not
the baseball
historian.
You're the baseball historian since about 15 minutes ago on the panel.
As far as cities go, where I want to go visit, Superior. But they're not a WEAC.
That's not an option.
So I understand that's where my head's at right now. I told you. I love Lake Superior. It's the most underrated Great Lake of all. So I'm sticking with Superior. I'm going to fight you on it. I think it's
a
way to break your own rule.
You posed a question, and you're not answering one of the eight eligible cities.
I think Superior still has some WEAC affiliation. I just don't think it's football. I think they still have WEAC affiliation.
I'm very confident they don't.
I'm going to check. That's my pick, Superior.
Okay. Well, we will not take any sort of legal action for Tausch breaking his own rules. But if you do need legal advice, especially if you've been injured, there's only one call to make. One call, that's all, and that's to Gruber Law Offices. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Or go to the website, gruber-law.com, to find out more.
Joshy.
You did. You totally wildied it. You just did the kind of thing that I do.
I believe Superior's still involved, and he is accurate. I don't think you can annex out. I think you can annex in.
If you go out, you annex into something else, though. You're annexed by something else.
What's my favorite city in the United States of America? Beijing! London.
That's not how this works, Jesse, and you know it. That's you're not portraying that accurately. Okay.
What's your favorite state? Canada.
Oh, Bernsey.
The WEAC, the Wisconsin Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. Eau Claire, La Crosse, yep. Oshkosh,
yep.
Platteville,
yep.
River Falls, Stevens
yep.
Point,
yep.
Stout, and Whitewater.
So where is Superior? What happened to UW Superior? What is it like? Is Superior?
What's the deal with UW Superior?
Superior?
All right, we will
like
get
Pluto?
An answer for you.
Jason, is Superior like Pluto? They've completely wiped it off, even though Pluto was a planet forever, and then they just said, no, now we're not going to have Pluto.
Like, they're a dwarf school?
Is Superior been Plutoed? Is that what is that what you guys are telling me?
We will get further information on the Yellow Jackets so we can get to Jeff Passan on time when we kick off the 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock hour. Now I'm all flustered. In 2 minutes,
it's only
so 9 stick
o'clock
around.
Out here.
That's true.
People
actually.
Still aren't awake. People are still sleeping.
It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.